Last week on Sight Unseen, we heard the voices of two curators, Isabel Massu and Dori Bowen, speaking about their exhibition, Not Given, talking of and around photographs of Arab women. The exhibition came here from Marseille, and Isabel and Dori both commented on how interesting the reactions to such an exhibition has been here in the U.S. as compared to France. The thing is, in the past few years, the image of the Arab world in America has changed dramatically and has been tainted by the media. Recent histories and our own sense of difference has made Arab identity both skewed and inaccessible. The exhibition, Not Given, offers a very different and possibly a clearer view of the Arab world and particularly of Arab women. The collection of photographs we see is drawn from the Arab Image Foundation, an organization that has meticulously collected images taken by and of Arab peoples. The foundation not only has collected these images, but has categorized them in a very distinctive and conscious manner, giving tags to each and every image. Woman, man, Thai, street. The images that Isabel and Dori have focused on are images that were given the tag disguise. What we're faced with is images that may seem shocking to the Occidental viewer. Arab women kissing on the lips, Arab women getting married, Arab women standing naked, Arab women cross-dressing. The images are not sordid. In fact, there's a sense of playfulness, a definitive sense of disguise. However, they are provocative because they put into question not only our assumptions about Arab culture, but our identity of Arab women in particular. In this interview, we speak of the images themselves, the interests that Dori and Isabel had when they first came across these photographs, and the ways in which those perceptions have changed. My name is Tanya Katendian, and today on Sight Unseen, part two of my interview with the curators of Not Given, Isabel Massu and Dori Bowen. Stay tuned.
There was a time where women were freed up, you know, as in their sexuality maybe, or in their way of being. You know, things were very different than now, you know, obviously. And there was much more freedom, you know, there was much more, influence on a lot of different things, and especially because of the French. So there was just much more, I mean, even this picture that just Dori described, there's a sense of freedom in it with this woman in the foreground. And I think for me, it's almost like, wow, you know, maybe it's like, maybe women were able to actually live their homosexuality, you know. That's more, I work more with projection rather than imagination, you know. So, and because I also know a lot of women who are, who are gay, you know, from the Arab world, and who are my age and younger, and who are not saying it, you know, because it's still very complicated, even though those women are very politically active, very, you know, involved in the world, but it's just very, very complicated, you know. There is, you know, promiscuity, you know, with women, and there is promiscuity with men, and then but the family structure is so strong that they get married, they have kids, but then the rest continue too, and everybody knows about that. And it's funny because when I show some of the image, and especially the two women kissing, even though those women who were gay, you know, so later on that, of course, it's a fake kiss, you know, but the first reaction was like, you know, very shocking for them to imagine that there is images of, you know, women kissing in the Arab world, you know, from their world, you know. So, you know, I could feel that very strong reaction, you know, for them. So,
yeah, when I showed that picture to my grandma, who I think is quite liberated in many ways, she's like, what is this? What's going on here? You know, and it's just interesting to see her reaction in that way. And I was just thinking about, especially after reading more of what you had written or what is written in the catalog, just about the context.
Well, one thing that I just say that's interesting about the Arab Image Foundation is they keep the name of the collection. So rather than erasing the particularity that goes into an archive, where it came from, what family, who took the photograph, I mean, often those are kept, but not the story behind it. They actually do research and have published books, say, on El Madani and his words, and interview him, and Van Leo, Akram Zatari's done a film on him. And I think that's interesting because It's true that certain images can really strike you, like the Marguerite photograph that Isabel described, the outing in Cheka photograph that I was describing, and you wonder where it came from and the particularity of it. And for instance, El Madani, what happened in that studio and what could that possibly mean? And what we have, whether it's authoritative or not, are the words now of El Madani, because they've interviewed him about, and he talks about Hollywood films and how they were enacting film, prohibitions about men and women. And so you get a sense of the world it came from. So the archive is not erasing the tracks of the story of where it came from. But I also think that's kind of an interesting phenomenon that happens in archives, because the archive orders it around a certain logic, and it's all very formal and rationalized and suffocating sometimes to go into an archive. And then you'll stumble upon a document that suggests a whole different world, far beyond the archive, another time, another place, like Marguerite. And so we started to wonder, well, who is this woman? And how could she have dressed that way? And not only that, her posture. How could she be standing that way with this kind of self-assurance and taking, you know, smoking a cigarette and wearing the suit? And so I think that particularity, and then crossed with the rationalization of the archive, is what makes it exciting. And so besides the studio photographs of El Madani, there are other photographs, one in particular, which comes from this whole group that are Rafat Mardam Bey. It's the Bey collection, right? And we don't know who she is, but she's pictured here. And there's a woman who's wearing a man's suit with a cigarette, and all seems very performative, like Marguerite. And she's holding on to this other woman who's kind of mockingly pushing her away. And it's not in the studio. So you get the sense that they were enacting these for the camera, that there was some maybe kind of a playful culture of the camera at the time, that the camera was part of their life. And they would stage these scenarios for the camera. And then this other photograph has Talat Mardam Bey and Rafat Mardam Bey stretched out, and you have this four women, and it's, again, it seems to be posed for the photograph, for the camera, and it's this something of an act of liberation or defiance. And that's what was interesting to us about these photographs, is I don't know if you could say it's sort of a feminist sensibility, but it suggests that something was going on, something very playful, maybe something very privileged as well, that they were able to live a life with these kinds of playful scenarios.
Untitled 13 is an untitled photograph of a man just grabbing his, I would imagine, his partner's breast. That's also quite.
That's also acting out for the camera, but it maybe in a more traditional way. It also seems to be this gesture of ownership. And that's what's interesting about the two men posing for the camera in the wedding attire, because they seem to be parroting this gesture right here. The one is owning the other. He has his hand on his shoulder, but it's something of a mock possession.
The one that you first talked about, the Rafat Mardam Bey, of the woman dressed up in a suit kind of grabbing this other woman while she is pulling away, her head isn't tilted back. She's pulling away but looking straight at her partner. So there's a definite intrigue there. There's something very cinematic about that. And that was another thing that the show refers to, is this curiosity of the influence of cinema from outside of where these photographs are taken, and the desire to reenact that as well. It's not just reenacting your own fantasies, but reenacting fantasies that directors have created.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing about the show as well, is it displays how fantasies have traveled through photography and film. And this surprised people that came to see the show, and they would say to us, you know, this looks like Hollywood, this looks like, and the point is that these fantasies circulate on celluloid and have circulated, and they've circulated from the east to the west and back again. And that's what's interesting to me, is to think that it's not just borrowing codes from Hollywood, but that there was and is a Lebanese film industry, and that these things through distribution can actually circulate fantasies, and then people go into the studio and start enacting them. So you can see how film and photography have Child created a kind of repertoire of scenarios that people can stage and act out. But I think there's also limits. I don't know if people could stage those now, for instance, in certain areas of the Middle East. It might not be possible in, say, Iran to stage a kind of Hollywood secular style wedding image. It may be prescribed. And so I think that those fantasies are also loaded ideologically as well. And perhaps that's why certain countries forbid certain films from coming in from certain countries, because of the power of the fantasy.
Now, I wanted to describe one more photograph in here before we got to the photographs that went along with the sound component of the show. And it is the one of the two women kissing, which we were talking about before. But I'm not necessarily looking for a description of it. What I am curious about is this thing that you bring up, Dori, about the element of strength and feminism. I wanted to ask you, Issa, if you see that element in this image, or what do you see in this image? Can you first describe it for me? And I was surprised by it, so I want to hear what Issa have to say.
The description of the image is it's a close-up of two women centered in the middle of the photograph who are kissing each other on the mouth, holding themselves on the shoulder. So it's like a big, let's say it's the first 2 seconds of a kiss. You could see it like this. You could see it as a photographer would have just captured that moment where they get, you know, where they come close to each other. What I find interesting is the set itself, which is like they look like they come. There is like curtains on the back, you know, those kind of curtains that open and then let an image appear, or like a person appear, or like a view appear out of a window. So you have those curtains who are like pulled. It makes me think of like Commedia dell'arte. That's what it makes me think about. There's something about very theatrical in the sets of it. And especially because, of course, the kiss is not real. You know, there's nothing real about that kiss. One is like kind of laughing. You know, you can see that she's having, you know, fun doing that. And the other one, and they don't look at each other. You can actually see that they don't look at each other, really. So there is this kind of like embarrassing feeling that we're not, it's so close that we're not going to look at each other. And obviously we're, you know, pretending something. And the other one is like, I mean, both of their mouths are a little like pinched, you know, so it's not very like, you know, expressing a lot of like flesh and sensuality and wetness. You know, it's rather the contrary of something like a dry kiss, you know, I would say. It's true that the first time you see it, it's completely shocking, you know, and I think that's what is great about this photograph is that your first sense of it is like, wow, you know, the time frame. You see right away the time frame. It's a black and white photograph. The women are, you know, it's probably 1950. Yeah, 1950. And it's because of the haircut. So you right away like contextualize it and then have a shock. A first response is kind of a shock of like, oh, lesbian in that time frame. Or like, you know, that's what you think first, you know. But then it's like you really look at it and you see a lot of other level. As far as your question, did you say to talk about feminism? I don't see that here. So I can't. I mean, maybe Dori can answer more, but I really don't see that. I think it's, you know, there's nothing feminist about that image for me.
How about for you?
Take a look at it. You know what's funny is after working on the show for so long, it's not shocking to me. And that's what's strange. I remember when we first went to the Arab Image Foundation and many of the images were really very surprising. There's a young girl in a cowboy outfit, kind of holding her holsters. And there are many images that speak of a kind of, I'd say just feminine vitality, maybe not feminism, but a real kind of strength, and the way that these women were posing and the variety of poses and the playfulness. So I'm trying to sort of go back to that moment when I first looked at them and was shocked not so much by the image itself, but I think by the kind of open-ended playfulness of the images, of these studio photographs, of the images I was describing of the Bay family, and also the images just of families posing with a backdrop, for instance. There was a kind of playfulness, and I think perhaps inclusion of photography in their life in a way that was very interesting to me. It didn't seem like they were trooping off to the portrait studio to get the obligatory wedding photograph, but they were having fun with the photographer, with the studio objects. And I don't know if I would call that feminist, but I think it's definitely a kind of vitality and openness that women had the possibility to imagine themselves differently. And they felt that it was permissible to do so, at least in the studio context. I talk about Sartre's theory of imagination in my essay, and for Jean-Paul Sartre, it's when something is withdrawn that imagination steps in and starts to fill in that empty space, and that's when we flesh out an image. So usually when we go to an exhibition, it's when we leave. We go home, and then we start to think about what it meant and imagine and ruminate. But I wanted to put that in the exhibition itself and make the viewer do some work and have to piece together the images, because I think that has political implications as well, to say it's not all there. It's not all given. Like, you're filling in the blanks. You're actually making certain interpretations and judgments, and that invisible glue is going to be made apparent because you're going to see yourself seeing, in essence. You see the process of seeing an image and interpreting an image. It's interesting to see how the story develops collectively, where people go, given the most minimal information, where they fill in the blanks with the image.
Well, I thought not given was meant not a given.
It means that as well. I mean, there are a few levels at which I like the title, but not given as in withdrawn, not a given. And then I was also doing a little playful pun off of Marcel Duchamp's Étant Donné, which is given, which is this landmark piece based on a kind of, I don't know if you know this piece, but it's about voyeurism, and there's a peephole that the viewer looks through, and there's a woman who's spread on the ground, looks like she's been raped or ravished. And the way that it's discussed is that he's actually displaying the dynamics of Western visuality. So I wanted to turn that upside down and say, well, maybe it's not always based on Western visuality. Maybe there are other models of seeing. So instead of it's given, that this is given and that's a given, it's not given. So it's questioning those tropes as well, that's how we see, and that's necessarily how we see.
How do you feel like this show, or the creation of this show, has changed the way in which you see?
Well, there's a lot of levels. I would say that the level the most interesting is to see how people, how necessary this kind of exhibition is, not just because we did it, but just because, you know, I feel like there is still a lot of misconception about the Arab world, in this country especially. The response in Marseille was very different. I think here it's okay and people appreciate it, but it's just that I'm saying this just because of the way that, for example, the media, so-called liberal, presented the show, was sometimes very, it was very violent.
I think it was a blurb in the Examiner before. It wasn't a review of the show, it was just a preview. And it said, come see the Arab woman unveiled. At least we don't veil our women. I mean, it was exactly everything this show's against, with that kind of sentiment, that kind of propriety around women, about what they are and who they are and how these people treat them or dress. And there were so many elements that we found repugnant that it's hard to even describe them.
Yeah, so I think, you know, for me, that was, it's like, you can see, you know, that there is still a lot of problem here, you know, going on with, you know, images of the Arab world, you know, at large, and how people think that women are all the same way over there, and then all victimized, and then all, you know, under the thumb of, you know, few men, or like the Coran or whatever. No idea that they actually multi-confession in Lebanon. Or, I mean, it's just, you know, and, you know, it's okay. I don't know what's happening in, however, like, you know, in Uzbekistan, or, but there is, this country has been touched by something, you know, and there is a relationship with the Arab world now since 2001, who is obviously, like, very strong. So I just feel like for us, it was important to do something like that, and in the context of an art installation instead of, like, an activist meeting. You know, and I think that's the second reason why I what it changed for me is I think it's my best collaboration so far with someone. I really feel like me alone doing this installation would have been too bully, you know, it would have been too much like, you have to understand Arab woman, you know, you have, you know, it would have been just much more too political, too contemporary, too feminist, too strong, you know, and then there is a way that we enter into this whole thing through, you know, more the way that Dori looks at things and then the way she thinks and the way she works. And that really, like, was an incredible, you know, mixture of the two. And, you know, I've been thinking about this lately and I feel like it's for me, that's one thing that changed in my life is really realizing how a collaboration, you know, how when it really works. You know, when you have these really very different perspective, and then you actually are able to, like, you know, bridge them together to you talk to me about something and say, what did you say last time about that? Something about parallel. What was it?
The exhibition was kind of the structure of it was a parallax view. And that's like two views coming from different angles that then create a three-dimensional image. And that's the way certain cameras work. And I think that's true, that we come at it from such different angles that it helped both of us to give something more, another dimension that's not either of us. Because interestingly enough, for me, it was really the concrete that was life-changing. It was, I've been thinking about the history of photography, visuality, art, etc., but then actually applying it to a very concrete and political case and a particular archive in a particular country at a particular moment was really wonderful.
So you touched upon something that I think is interesting about how media has viewed this show, and at least in America versus France. I'd like just an example of, not a specific example, but just a general sense. You don't need to think of the actual words, but of a reaction that resonated with your intentions for this show.
Well, I know that when we showed it in Marseille, it was really interesting because it's an Algerian neighborhood called Belzance, and we were afraid that it might be, since there are images of semi-clad women, that it would be too outrageous for that neighborhood, which is fairly conservative. But people came in, there was one woman in particular that said something that was just so simple, which is, thank you for showing this diversity of images. She on that very basic level, because we've been talking about all these other levels and what we were trying to do and the intention, but I think on this very basic level of bringing images that show a much larger world than what people expect or know, and just on that basis, I think it succeeded. And that made me really happy that it wasn't that even our curatorial intent per se, or the structure of the archive or the imagination, but simply taking these images, reworking them and exhibiting them in such a way that people could encounter a world that was larger than they could imagine. And that made them happy. That made her happy as an Arab woman to see that she was not being defined in a particular way. And she told me that that's what she was afraid of. When she read about the exhibit, she thought, oh, it's going to say, this is who you are, this is what you are, this is where you come from. But instead, she saw something that didn't define her. So I think that made me very happy that that was what I had hoped. And we never wanted to define what that Arab woman is. And in fact, didn't even want to use it in the title because it's the very opposite of the show. But rather than taking it out of the title, we thought, well, hopefully the show itself will demonstrate that it can't be contained, that these identity terms are relational, are based on translation, culture, etc., and that in fact it's a misnomer.
Those were the voices of Isabel Massou and Dori Bowen, curators of the exhibition Not Given, talking of and around photographs of Arab women. The exhibition traveled from Marseille to San Francisco and will be at the San Francisco Camera Work through May 26th. To learn more about the exhibition here, please visit sfcamerawork.org. My name is Tani Katanjian, and you're listening to Sight Unseen. Please stay tuned for more great programming on your Resonance 104.4 FM, the UK's first radio art station.